Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigod's Appeal to the Lord, Text Number 49. Itahi Skanda Shankanam Taroramula Vishetanam Evam Aradhanam Vishno Saresham Atmanas Chahi Yata as he indeed skanda of the trunk shankanam and of the branches taro of a tree mula the root avishechanam watering, evam, in this way, aradhanam, worship, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, sarvesham, of everyone, atmanaha, of the supersoul, cha, also, he, indeed. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, for the Lord is the supersoul of everyone. Purport. As stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhanam Sarvesham, Vishnur Aradhanam Param, Tasmat Parataram Devi, Tadiyanam Samacharanam. Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best. And better than the worship of the Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava. There are many demigods worshipped by people or attached to material desires. Because people are embarrassed by so many material desires, they worship Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the goddess Kali, Durga, Ganesh, or Ganesha, and Surya to achieve different results. However, one can achieve all these results, or all those results, oh no, these results, simultaneously just by worshiping Lord Vishnu. As stated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, yata tara mula nishechanena triptyanti tatskandabujo pushaka pranaharachchaya tendriyanam tatayva sarvahanam atuteja. Just by pouring water on the root of a tree, one nourishes its trunk and all its branches, fruits and flowers. And just by engaging, supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the limbs of the body. Similarly, by worshiping Lord Vishnu, one can satisfy everyone. Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious movement. Rather, it is meant for all embracing welfare activities for the world. One can enter this movement without discrimination in terms of caste, creed, religion, or nationality. If one is trained to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the origin of Vishnu Tattva, one can become fully satisfied and perfect in all respects. Itahi skanda sankanam Taramula Vishechanam Evam Aradhanam Vishno Sarvesham Atmanas Chahi. When one pours water on the root of a tree, the trunk and branches of the tree are automatically pleased. Similarly, when one becomes a devotee of Lord Vishnu, everyone is served, the Lord is the supersoul of everyone. As we know, a fundamental principle is that Krishna is not only the proprietor of everything, but that he's also controlling everything that happens. Now the question is, if Krishna is controlling everything that happens, why do things happen that we think shouldn't be happening? In other words, it seems Krishna, he's supposed to be against the demons who are against Krishna. Krishna is supposed to protect the devotee from the demons, but sometimes we find that the demons seem to be victorious and the devotees get vanquished. Is it that Krishna can't control everything? He tries to limit his control so as not to get so confused. Or is that everything that's happening is actually happening directly under Krishna's direction? In other words, if the devotees weren't put into difficulty, then Krishna would have no reason to protect them. And if Krishna had no reason to protect them, he'd never come and make his appearance. Nor would the devotees have any reason to take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, difficulties are actually meant, especially for the devotees, to help, to encourage them to take more shelter of Krishna. On the other hand, the non-devotees, it is not actually auspicious for them to get what they want, because all they're doing is getting karma. Anything that's gotten without recognition as being Krishna's property, or without following somehow or another, either directly or indirectly, Krishna's instructions, will simply be the cause of difficulty in the future. As I said before, when Prabhupada was on a morning walk and in White Rock Lake Park, and the devotees pointed out a mansion on the other side of the lake owned by Howard Hughes, the wealthiest person in the world at that time. The devotees pointed out that we try to give him some books so we can get some donation for our Gurukul in Dallas, but the guards stopped us at the door and wouldn't allow us to just give Howard Hughes these books and ask for a donation. But they promised they'd give Howard Hughes the books anyhow. So Prabhupada asked the devotees, what would you have told Howard Hughes if you would have seen him? And one devotee said, I would have told him we're model citizens, we're helping the community, you should give us a donation. Another said that, you know, these books are very good, they'll make you happy. And Prabhupada said, all right, but I would have told Howard Hughes that actually, Mr. Hughes, you made all this money through oil. But that oil actually belongs to Krishna, to God, to Bhagavan. So you have made all this money by stealing from Bhagavan. So one day Bhagavan's agents will come and they'll drag you away and punish you. So give back the stolen goods. Of course, in Prabhupada's general dealings, even when dealing with wealthy people, he didn't always make that exact approach. Because Prabhupada was trying to engage people somehow or another, and that's not probably the best way of encouraging people with a lot of wealth. They probably won't give back any of their stolen goods. Because they don't believe that everything is actually coming from Vishnu, from Krishna, and they don't really believe in karma, that whatever they're doing, they're going to get a result from. As Prabhupada, when he was in Scottish Church's college, and one professor was challenging the Hindu doctrine of karma, saying, where's the witness? If you're in a court of law and you're accused of doing something illegal, then generally they have to bring some witness to testify against you. So where's the witness to testify in case we're being judged for our sinful activities? So Prabhupada said, I didn't say anything because I wasn't so sure. But later on, I found out about the super soul, that the super soul's accompanying us, and he has a perfect memory. He knows everything past, present, future, and he's witnessing everything, every single atom in this universe, what's going on, and he'll, in the future, give everyone the results of their work. More like the results of their desire, which manifests itself by Krishna's arrangement in terms of thinking, feeling, and willing. Think we can get away with something, but that's not possible. We can get away from Krishna, that's the only thing we can get away from. Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this idea of watering the root of the tree and therefore supplying water to all the leaves and branches, and the important thing for our encouragement is that we happen to be one of the leaves, at least. Even if we don't really care about all the other leaves and branches, my leaf comes first. Still, if we want to supply water, at least to our own leaf, we have to supply it to the root. And how to supply it to the root? Well, of course, it's always recommended we do something for Krishna. At least we use our intelligence to become convinced that there is a Krishna, and Krishna is controlling every atom of this universe, and whatever is happening is under his direction. And that my duty is to find out what he wants me to do. I cannot control everything else in this, anything else in this universe. As Krishna says, the kartrivam the karmani lokasya surjiti prabhu, the karma pala samyogam svabhavas tubhavartate. That the kartrivam, the invited soul, does not create activities. Nor does he induce others to act. Nor does he create the results of activities. All this is created by the material nature. So although we have the capacity to desire, we don't have any capacity to create the results of those desires. But that's enacted by the material nature very, very strictly, beyond our anything that we can imagine. And therefore it's up to us to make a determination to understand how this material world is working. Otherwise, we're walking around as in a dream, that I'm floating around independently, and that the results of activities are just kind of happening. We may identify different levels of control, but we don't see Krishna necessarily, or we're supposed to see Krishna as the control behind everything. Without seeing Krishna as the control behind everything, then we think somehow or another things are acting independently and that we have to make up for it. We have to counteract other people's independent activities. No, we have to see every arrangement is perfectly made by Krishna. And our only duty is not to change everyone else, is to make sure that we're Krishna conscious, that we're watering the root. That's all we can assure. We cannot assure that everyone else is watering the root. All we can do is try and water the root ourselves. And by doing so, we may be acting as an instrument to encourage others to do the same thing. Of course, the only way we can encourage everyone to water the root is if we display a positive result of our watering the root. Not that if you don't water the root, I'm going to kill you. Of course, that may be Parasaramsa did that. But we're not Parasaram. And I don't think we should try to imitate him either. In any case, most people will be attracted by the happy result they see that when we're engaged in Krishna service, that we're happy, that we're convinced, at least we should be tolerant and patient, and by doing that, learn the reality of Krishna consciousness by applying it with conviction so that we become enthusiastic, and we maintain our enthusiastic steadily by not becoming bewildered to thinking that there's something going on here that I have to personally correct because Krishna seems to be not doing his job properly. Now, it's very subtle. We don't say outwardly. We just forget Krishna. We just try and correct things ourselves. In other words, in the neophyte stage, forgetfulness of Krishna's instructions is just our normal behavior. And we have this mistaken idea that if by initiation I'm saved. I'm initiated, the Yamadutas come, I just hold up my beads, see, I'm initiated. And by our letters of recommendation, whatever. And they say, oh, sadhu, we came to the wrong place. I'll call up the Vishnu Dutas and tell them to come take you, because you're initiated. No, initiation is a chance to remember the Guru all the time, 24 hours a day, and do everything according to his instructions, which, of course, are coming from Krishna. And if we doubt whether they're coming from Krishna, that's why we have the ISKCON movement, to give us some insight what those instructions from Guru are and how to apply it so they actually are in disciplined succession, where our doubts are cleared up, and we can see what is actually the desire of ultimately our acharyas in disciplined succession. In any case, we're supposed to remember Guru, but not only Guru, but by fulfilling those instructions of Guru, we're supposed to remember our disciplined succession, our acharyas. If our instructions from Guru are not connecting us with disciplined succession, most likely we're not connected really with the instructions of Guru. And Guru and disciples of succession are connected with Shastra. If we don't know Shastra, then we're generally just blind followers. And even if our Guru is 100% bona fide and the instructions are bona fide, we won't really get the result of following the instructions because we're blind. And the object of following the instructions is first of all, to get some vision, to clarify things, to see things properly. And if we're not making progress in that because we're following blindly, then that's our fault. Because at least, even if we don't have Guru and Sadhu speaking to us, we have Shastra, which is supposed to give us vision. And if we think there's some difference between Shastra and Guru and Sadhu, then we have to find out what that difference is and clarify it. It takes some intelligence. It takes some endeavor. It's not automatically that I just bring my body from this place to the next and watch it work, and I don't know what I'm doing or who I'm doing it for or why I'm doing it, what to expect. I'm just doing it, and at the end I get my meals every day, then my day has been successful. If I can eat during the day and sleep peacefully at night, then the day is I'm making progress. But there should be some result of watering the root, that we should feel something as one of the bona fide leaves. We should feel some nourishment. And that means, as Krishna says, some faith, devarsha, bhutatma, rinam, pitrinam, nikinkara ya sharanam, no. Devarsha bhutatmar nrini pitri nrinam pitrinam nikintkara nanari tirajan sarvatmana yaksharnam sharanya kato mukundam pariritya kartum. That we have to actually become convinced that if I take shelter of Krishna sharanam, which means we're taking shelter of a person, Krishna, that by taking shelter of the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, what is the result? I should remember Krishna. and his associates. And by doing that, by actually experiencing becoming to the spiritual platform, by actually taking shelter and entering into the internal energy of Krishna, Asharanam, then we can only do that if we actually have faith that all the other obligations I have will be satisfied, that I don't have to worry, masuchaha, about everything else. The devas, the rishis, because we don't care about the devas, because we don't believe they exist. And the rishis, the only rishi I know is my grandfather. He only had brains, everyone else's. Compared to everyone else, he was a rishi. Devarshara Bhutatma. The Buddha, the ordinary living entities, there's so many ordinary living entities. People feel more obligated to their dog than they do to anyone else. Devarshir Bhut Apta. Apta means relatives and family members. These are our fallible soldiers. As a matter of fact, these devas, the rishis, the ordinary living entities, the aptas, the relatives and other family members, we pretend we're serving them because we hope that they'll protect what? My near and dear body and calm my mind down and give me intelligence how I can live peacefully and happily without disturbance in this material world. And if they don't do it, they're useless. That's why people couldn't care about the demigods. They couldn't care about the rishis because they've taken shelter of something else, technology. They think modern technology, modern science will protect them, make them happy. And when it doesn't make them happy, when there's some problem, don't worry. Just cover it up by censorship. So people are already brainless and don't let their brains enter into their brain anything other than what a few people want them to hear. So they actually can live in their illusion that they're making progress, that they're being protected. Whereas Prabhupada says, Nanda Maharaj said about Kamsa, when Akura visited Krishna in Vrindavan to bring him back to Mathura to fight in the wrestling ring against the wrestlers and to be attacked by Kulava Pita, when Kamsa had instructed Akura to go to Vrindavan and bring Krishna here so we can kill him, Kuro was a great devotee, and therefore he was not very happy about Kamsa's plan. He revealed it to Krishna Balaram, who laughed, because they've been through this since time immemorial. They know who's going to win. I mean, I laugh too if some midget comes against, you know, Hercules and says, "This time I'm going to win." And Hercules takes a big breath and blows the little midget away. So Krishna and Balaram just laughed when they heard about Kamsa's plan. And when Nanda Maharaj heard about Kamsa and his plan and inquired how the citizens of the state are doing under Kamsa's protection, he knew that actually the citizens couldn't be peaceful or happy. He said, it's just like a slaughterhouse keeper's protection of the animals that he's taking care of. Certainly, before they're slaughtered, the animal, the slaughterhouse keeper is going to protect them. Just for enough time, he can lead them into the slaughterhouse and kill them. So modern society is like that. It's composed of mostly demons who are all intent on becoming God and controlling and enjoying the material nature unrestrictedly against the laws of material nature. And actually, they have to get the results of that. So their leaders, they elect, so-called elect. And their job is to slaughter them. That's why they take that position. And that's why they're elected. Because they're actually being elected to give people their sinful reactions. And make them believe that they're actually going to protect them and make them happy. But actually, they're exactly like the slaughterhouse keeper's protection of the animals that he's going to slaughter. That's not a Maharaj, that's not me. I'm just repeating what he said. But that's what's going on since time immemorial. So unless people actually become aware of God, Krishna, and how he's the controller, and at least become inquisitive to find out what he wants them to do, and in this age, people can't do very much. At least they can chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. And then maybe they'll get the brains to protect the cows at least and stop their sinful activities. And then they'll actually get more intelligence to take up the process of devotional service in this age. But since we're supposed to have the intelligence to understand these things, then we should know that our faith, that we're gonna, you know, grow up, we're gonna have a good time in the material world, and then at best I'll get the booby prize. I'll get the consolation prize if I don't go back to Godhead. At least I'll go to the heavenly planets. And I'll meet my soulmate there. And we'll live happily ever after. So we may have this delusion that somehow or another we can escape the laws of material nature. We chanted enough rounds that I got all the credit. Krishna is just sending me the one-way ticket to the heavenly planets. It's gotten a little delay in the post. No, we should understand that no matter where we are in the material world, as soon as we stop serving Krishna under the guidance of his representatives, then we're on the way down. We're not on the way up. And even if one goes to the heavenly planets, one will not stay there for very long. The more enjoyment we get in this material world, the more the time goes quickly. The more we suffer, the slower it goes. So if we're looking for happiness, it's going to go very quickly. If we're willing to go through some austerity to become Krishna conscious, then our Krishna consciousness will have a lot of opportunities to develop and we'll have a lot of time because to focus on it, because everything will go very slowly when we're doing austerity. And when we're enjoying, things go too quickly. In any case, then Nikinkara Charinam Charajan, that one is not a servant or a debtor to anyone. Krishna owns everything. We're indebted to Krishna for everything. Everyone is indebted to Krishna. It's all his energy. So one who's actually doing Krishna's business, then he's not a debtor to anyone. He doesn't have to worry about anything else, that he has some other obligation to do just what he understands Krishna wants him to do. Of course, that takes some intelligence to get it clear what Krishna wants us to do. But if we don't know anything, like Dhruva Maharaj, when the Vishnu Dutas came to bring him back to Vaikuntha, he didn't know what to say to them. So he just chanted, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if we don't know what to do, we can just chant Hare Krishna. And if we do it offenselessly, that would be perfect. In any case, we should try to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and don't think we're obligated to anyone. That we have to say some nice things to them, so they give some donation. And probably in this book, I could build a temple, I believe the name was Vagiraj Maharaj. Prabhupada was speaking to very highly elevated people in India, rich, fabulously rich people, and he just told them the truth. He just told them what says in the Bhagavad Gita. Like they were asking, what is success? He was at the Birlers, the wealthiest family in India, giving a program with all these other wealthy friends that they had, and they asked him to give a talk on what is the secret of success. And Prabhupada said, success is become Krishna conscious. Come under the internal energy of Krishna. If you don't come under the internal energy, you'll be forced to come under the external energy of Krishna. So if you want to be successful, real success is come under the internal energy of Krishna. That's success. Otherwise, your life will be a failure. You may ride to Yamaloka in a big limousine, but when you get there, it won't be so pleasant. Your next abode will not be a dreamland, a dream abode. Therefore, one should be confident. We should preach things as they are, not trying to flatter people to get things from them. We shouldn't agitate people's minds. We can appreciate them, but we shouldn't change the philosophy just to suit the people's whims so that we can get their so-called support. Because we're not a servant of anyone except for Krishna and his representatives. Nor are we indebted to anyone. Usually our parents will always tell us, I did so much for you. But maybe they did, and we should appreciate that. But we should find out from Krishna and his representatives how to reciprocate with them. Because actually, they're simply instruments for Krishna too. Whatever they did to them, for us, they did on behalf of Krishna. And whatever they did wrong, they did on behalf of Maya. So our helping them, we will not be able to help them. We ourselves work in Maya. Then we'll go to hell, encouraging them to go to hell too. Instead, we should find out what to do to actually help them spiritually, because the real person is the soul, not the external energy. Then we'll actually be able to do something good for ourselves and give up our debts to everyone by serving Krishna. If we don't serve Krishna, we're only getting more and more into debt. And that's all we have to do, is find out what Krishna wants us to do and do that. And if we remember Krishna, we become Krishna conscious, then our lives will actually become successful. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Maharaj. Your point is well taken, that we should at least try to nourish our own little leaf first before we can do anything else. And I was wondering if you could help us understand whether we are making any progress or we are just, you know, turning the wheels and not getting anywhere, just eating and sleeping. Only thing, now I'm eating Krishna Prasadam and I'm living in the temple, but am I really making progress? How do I evaluate that?
Bhakti Parashana Vyaktir Anyatra Trika Ekakala Prapadamanasya Tashnita Sus Tushtis Pushti Shudapaya Nugasam. Just like when you eat a meal, with every bite you feel three things. You should feel three things if it's properly prepared. Namely, growing strength, satisfaction, and alleviation from hunger. So similarly, when devotional service is properly performed, one should see things, everyone and everything more clearly in relationship to Krishna. And one should feel detachment from the things that are usually, or could, withdraw our minds from Krishna consciousness, or from the desire to serve Krishna. At the same time, one should feel growing love for Krishna and everyone and everything connected to Krishna. Mm. So if we're feeling those three things, then it means our devotional service is going on properly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Anything else?
This is a question from Wallaby Knappen. Question is, in trying to become more Krishna conscious, there are many difficulties, especially our own mind. Does the Maha Mantra have the power to overcome our mind? Even when we chant with offenses, does the Maha Mantra have the power to overcome these offenses? What is more important, our own desire and efforts of the power of the holy, or the power of the holy name? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Well, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one can go on for millions of years chanting the holy name, but if he doesn't get rid of the 10 offenses, it won't have any effect. Therefore, devotional service is an attempt to get free from these offenses. To chant attentively and ultimately with some feeling. Otherwise, where is it a question of making any progress? It's not a... Krishna doesn't force us to become Krishna conscious. It's a voluntary. To give love to Krishna is voluntary. It's not the holy name that's going to force us to become Krishna conscious. I mean, Kamsa was directly in front of Krishna, but he didn't become Krishna conscious. Similarly, many demons got personal association with Krishna directly, but they didn't really become very Krishna conscious. So it's up to us to give up our offensive mentality. Otherwise, we have material nature is there to give us the reactions for our sinful activities, for our sinful mentality, and that's the encouragement we'll get to give up those sinful desires and activities. Either we voluntarily give it up by giving up the 10 offenses, or we encourage to give it up by the external energy to give us material reactions. Especially old age, disease, and death, and then having to take birth again. So we should chant Hare Krishna, not with the idea that somehow or another I can go on committing offenses, and that somehow or another the holy name is going to automatically take care of these things. It won't. He's equal to everyone. He's giving us the knowledge of how to get free from the offenses so that we can get free from the offenses. Otherwise, why would he give us the knowledge if he's just going to take care of it? Anything else?
So that means, my understanding is, even as we are watering the Bhakti Lata Beej, we must be also very, very careful to do the weeding part so that we are very diligently working on anarthas, removing offenses, trying to perfect our devotional service. Is this correct?
That's correct. If we don't work on removing the anarthas and the offenses, when we're watering the Bhakti Lata Beej, if we're chanting offensively, then we're actually going to be watering the weeds rather than the Bhakti Lata Beej.
Thank you.
All right. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.